I'm Shannon Davis, and my sister Jenna and I are going to get really real about something we both know a lot about, the emotional and financial toll of divorce. That's next on a special Do Something series episode of the Compounding Change Podcast.
This is the Compounding Change Podcast, sharing stories of small but meaningful changes that compound into amazing impact. Brought to you by Shannon Davis and DavisCompoundingChange.com. Change happens fast. Take advantage. Discussions on this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Retirement Plan Advisors LLC, a federally registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research and Retirement Planning Advisors are not related to DavisCompoundingChange.com or this podcast. Now, here's your host, Shannon Davis.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Compounding Change and to our special mini-series, Do Something. I'm Shannon and I'm here with my sister and co-host, Jenna. Today we're talking about one of life's tougher transitions though, divorce. Not just the logistics, but the emotional shift when the life you built starts to unravel. Jenna, as you know, we've both walked through the emotional and financial toll of divorce. I always have to bring the finances into this. And we've both done the hard work of healing and starting again. If you're open to it, can we start at the beginning of your story? Can you take us back to the moment when you actually knew this isn't working anymore? And what was it like to even imagine a different path?
Oh, well, okay, Shan, since
jumping right since in, right? Here.
Right. So yeah, if I take a back, and this was not by now, it was many years ago, but it's funny how some things can still just be so resonant in your mind. Like it just feels like it was such a short time ago. Mm-hmm. I will say this, that that moment when I realized like this isn't working or this isn't the path I want to be on, it wasn't necessarily like all of a sudden. It was really kind of like the layers were building up, and what was happening for me in that relationship that was not healthy was that it was both emotionally and physically abusive. Now that might sound like, well, gosh, that's like a wake up call. Like you would not know this right away. But what happens when you're in a relationship like that is that it's not like that all the time. And there is this hope, and I had this hope that it would get better. And sometimes, you know, when I looked ahead, there were moments where it seemed like things were improving in the relationship, and there'd be a few moments of calm, but it really never lasted. And I do think that that is probably the hardest part of being in a relationship like that for anybody, is when you're going through something like that, you get caught in the cycle of maybe it'll change or I can manage this. But meanwhile, at least for me, my sense of self was slowly eroding.
Yeah, definitely. That there's a cycle of hope and then disappointment. It can be exhausting.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was because what happened is that over time, you know, I started to isolate from friends and from family, and mm-hmm. I was really like emotionally depleted. So how that showed up for me was I would always say I hit a wall, and I would just feel all my entire body would just want to collapse into bed. And I would sometimes like stay in bed for the whole day because I did not have the strength or energy to get up. And that's what really told me like my nervous system was maxed out. And through all of that, like that toll and that exhaustion, I think, you know, if we go back to like, so when did I notice it? Even though there were a lot of little layers and moments that were kind of all adding up to it, what stands out for me was this one moment coming home from work, and we're doing bills or whatnot, and I realized that $30,000 of our investments had been gambled away in the stock market. And I say gambled away because it wasn't a long-term investment strategy that my ex wanted. He really wanted to find some quick money. Mm-hmm. So to me, it felt like gambling. But you know, when I looked at that, then coupled with like how strained things were getting or were at that point with, you know, just my relationship with mom and dad and all of that, then at that point probably culminated in like this moment where I kind of had to stop and think like, is this really the life that I want? And my answer was no. right? It really felt like somebody else was steering. And that's kind of like at some point, somewhere in my mind, I was like, nope, I need to put my hands back on the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Insert the song, right? Jesus, yeah. Take the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard parts of your story before, of course. I mean, we've talked for years about it. We were dealing with stuff, you know, at the same time and at different times, yeah. But hearing it all together, it not only brings back the memory of all that you went through, but it just hits a little differently hearing it again. So what stands out though, is how clearly you can name everything now. I mean, obviously hindsight, right? 2020, but yeah. I imagine at the time, nothing felt clear at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I saw you as capable and grounded in so many areas of life, yet you can feel lost in your own home. So that part definitely resonates. So can we stay with that for just a moment, though? That kind of, you know, you were in a fog, right? Mm-hmm. Emotional exhaustion, the second guessing. How did you even begin to find your voice, or like find your way back to your own judgment?
Oh, right. Yeah. And again, it's looking back, it sounds like it's a really clear line in the story,
right.
But I just always want to put like this little asterisk next to things that I'll say is like, I can talk about it now in this way because I've had that time and space to really reflect on what was happening in that journey. What I can share, what was really clear is, you're right, it was kind of like walking through a bit of a daze or a haze. And I was doubting myself constantly. I think that goes back to, well, things will get better. Am I making too much out of this right now? Mm-hmm. You know, just all of that really starts to affect your judgment, your decision-making. But the journey for healing and the journey to kind of get back onto my path and take that wheel back was the small steps, right? It's like taking some of those small steps and telling myself like the truth of like what was really happening. I remember at one point during the separation, the divorce period in that timeline, I opened up to my manager and said like, basically like, here's what I'm going through. I mean, not like in granular detail, but
right.
Overall, like, I'm going through a divorce. It's going to be pretty rocky. However, I also know here in my role in this job, you know, I am committed and I always want to be at 100% as, you know, as much as possible. And I brought that up to her because I didn't want special treatment. I just wanted to be honest. And that's part of just voicing what was going on for me in a way that was appropriate for that relationship and that situation. And I also invited her to just like, hey, if I'm not showing up at 100%, if you see my performance slipping, let me know. And the reason for that was besides like not really wanting any special treatment, I didn't want to be treated like I was fragile. Mm-hmm. Right? I really wanted support. I didn't want to be pitied.
Right. I can see that. That's powerful that you started by being honest with your boss, because I think a lot of times we try to hide that. We don't want to be judged. We don't want somebody to think we can't hack it. But that kind of clarity and setting boundaries while still showing up with accountability, that's not easy. And I'm sure you look back and think, wow, I had it together. But I mean, that really says a lot about your strength. Wow. It sounds like that was a moment of a bigger shift, maybe being able to be honest with somebody. And, you know, like you said, things might have been a little rocky with mom and dad or whatever. There's stuff that I know that you did not share with me. There was a lot you did, but you slowly through all that started to reclaim your voice. Mm-hmm. That honesty at work would create space for more honesty in maybe other areas of your life. Like you just broke free. Right. So what ultimately started to change after that? Like once you let that truth in.
Ooh, right. Yeah. It was about reclaiming my voice in many ways. And when I really started to admit like what was going on and I began to open up to people, I had kind of shut out, and not shut out because I was upset with them, but it's more like the shame and not wanting people to see that I didn't have it all together, or like this part of my life felt like it was in complete shambles. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's talking to you more and sharing more of what was going on. It's really being honest with mom and dad, you know, and some of our cousins who are just like our sisters, mm-hmm. you know, sharing with them and getting their support. Because I think when I started to share some stuff, even though there were elements where people knew like things aren't exactly right, like you always think you can hide stuff, but you can't. Mm-hmm. That they're like, oh, that makes more sense. Or like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize like that's what you were dealing with.
Right.
And, you know, it was really about that. And speaking more about it was, for me, it was like releasing some of that shame that I was holding on to. And that's when I felt the shift, right? Like the more I told the truth, the more that shame started to loosen its grip. And, you know, it wasn't instant. It didn't just like happen in one conversation, but I did begin to feel like this sort of weight lifting from me. And I think part of that shifting for me was, it was talking about it, but one was talking about to release what was feeling like the weight of shame. The other part then had to be like, so who am I now? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it was one of the most grounding things I did during that time was write affirmations. And that might seem a little woohoo or too light, but really what was happening is I needed to find the language that described what I knew to be true for myself. So I grabbed a blank sheet of paper one night. I remember this because it was like a real low point. And look at this, 20 years later.
Yeah. I know, recalling it can bring back all, they say that women especially, though, you tell a story and it just... Yeah. Yeah. You put yourself in that moment. You relive those emotions. They've done studies on that. I'm sure you've read about all those,
you
right?
You hear about that too.
Right. Right.
Right. But yeah, so it was things like I'm loved. I'm love. Whew, I'm dignified. Mm-hmm. I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and not like, not in a financial sense though, because that part I was drowning in debt. Mm-hmm. Wealthy in love and support and the things that actually matter.
Yeah.
And so for me, I filled that page over and over again until it became me.
Don't make me cry. You can at least talk through your tears. Yeah, I can't talk through laughing or talking.
Yeah. But okay, hold on, let me pull it together so I can speak.
Right.
I think that's the tender part. Right. Because you realize like, whoa, you do have the strength. Mm-hmm. And there can be really, really bad stuff that happening. And in the moment you feel like you don't have that strength, but it's looking back going, dang, I was strong and courageous, even in those really low points.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just quiet. It's simple. It's yours, ultimately.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Everything you've shared, the honesty, the connection, the daily practice of choosing a new story, it just speaks of such deep transformation. But like we said, I mean, it's not something, you know, you tell a story and it's like, and then this, and then this, and then this. But that kind of inner work, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's emotional healing, and then there's everything else that life throws at you. So can we, you know, of course I have to always bring in the finances. It would just be, I mean, you know, I'm not a counseling show, right? So, so can we talk about that financial aspect, how this all showed up for you financially?
Oh yeah, absolutely right. Yeah,
put it right. That's back probably even more emotional, right?
I'll be okay, I think, on that one. Right. Yeah, it was. There's always this financial piece, and that's why I said, like, when I was writing that list, you know, I'm wealthy, and I do remember like chuckling to myself as I wrote that because I was like, "Girl, not in your bank account." But
you're projecting.
I was projecting right now. I'm going to manifest this that I don't, you know, have
manifestation
to worry about that as much. But I really was in like rebuilding myself internally. And there's also like that real external, you know, reality of the financial fallout from that, you know, because divorce doesn't just shake your identity. It shakes your foundational freedom, like your financial piece, Right. Because it is tied to part of your identity, I think. And, but actually what that reminds me of is your story too, Shan. Like, you know, you said,
no, I got questions.
No, I know you have questions of me, but it does make me think of like how our paths are similar in some, you know, so many ways, because, you know, you've always said that, money was something that you managed well. And I always thought that of myself too, but, you know, I got to that point, in that decoupling of that relationship where I was like, well, now I'm going to be saddled with like a whole lot of debt. And I think too, you know, about your story as well, even though you can manage money well, it doesn't always protect you from the relationship or the situation that you're in. And I'm, can I turn the tables just a titch? And
yeah, you did that, didn't you?
You've worked hard to get where you are, but now what? Hi, I'm Jenna Stoliker, a leadership coach who helps people navigate change with intention. So you don't just survive the next chapter, you grow through it. Whether you're stepping into something new or wondering what's next, let's find your next right step. Learn more at JennaStoliker.com.
Like you said, yes. I thought I was pretty responsible financially. You know, dad always told us, right? Just save. It's like I tell the firefighters, you know, just a little bit, just save a little bit now and then in the future, right? So, yeah. And also when you're early on in your relationship, in your marriage, in your life, every penny counts. I mean, it counts now, don't get me wrong, but I liked having a plan, you know, saving, budgeting, tracking every penny. I drove people nuts because on vacation, well, probably mostly my ex drove them nuts. But, you know, I literally had this piece of paper when we'd go on vacation, here's my budget. And every time we went to dinner, you know, it's like 52.76 and I deduct it from the, it was ridiculous. But when you're living on, you know, I literally have to live on a budget, that gave me a sense of stability. Like I was doing something right, even when life felt a little chaotic. Mm-hmm. But as much as I felt like we were on the same page when we got married, you know, I mean, I think essentially we are, but everybody's got their different relationships or approaches to money. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we so much had different views, but just how we handled things was different, how to prioritize it. And, and then over time, of course, that becomes tension around, you know, your marriage, around your relationship. There are too many bills, too many moments of trying to stretch what we had. And it just felt like I was always bracing for a fire to put out. No analogies. I'm working with the firefighters, right. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of always use the saying of robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Taking from the left pocket to put it in the right pocket, but trying to cover the gaps without making any tensions worse, just trying to sweep things under the rug. I would think once income picks up, you know, we had our own business. So it wasn't that we were just on a salary. So things would be high, things would be low. And I think once we'd pay this off, then things will settle. And sometimes I believed it. And then other days it just ate me up completely. So, you know, of course you don't get married to get divorced, right? Well, I didn't. I thought I'd be celebrating, you know, 50, 60 years because I got married so young. Yeah. But, and then you have kids, and so you want to hold it together for them and have some sense of normalcy, but it ultimately takes its toll.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can see that, you know, and you were saying like just trying to hold it all together, like, you know, for the kids, for the sake of stability, you know, it does sound like there's probably a lot of peacekeeping. I mean, I'm going to label it as peacekeeping. I don't know if that's how you would label it, but it kind of sounds like when you hold things together, it's because you want to keep the peace, right? And and I do imagine that if that was just part of how you process things, how you went about life, that probably didn't stop after like the divorce.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I like to think so. I'm sure he'd have another story, but you know, after the divorce, I mean, we did holidays together and we stayed connected for a lot of reasons, but you know, mostly the kids. First of all, we'd been together for a really long time, so you don't just change that overnight. At least I didn't. And then you've got the kids and the dog and all that connecting you. I actually stayed connected to his business. So, you know, I mean, I appreciate that he let me. Even That's a whole nother dynamic, right? That's a whole nother story. But, yes. You know, I kept showing up and thinking if I pushed too hard or if I said too much, and you know me, I don't keep my mouth shut. So it's not like I'm just this little passive thing sitting back, right? But I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to impact the kids in the long run. I wanted their finances intact. So on some levels, I held back. And like I said, it wasn't about being passive. It was kind of survival mode, right or wrong, and whether it would be viewed that by others. But that's what it was for me. Yeah. But then, you know, you kind of start to feel like you're giving up pieces of yourself in the name of keeping everything intact. And then for a while after that, I just kind of shut down emotionally when it came to money. Buried my head in the sand. I didn't want to look at the numbers. I definitely didn't want to look at my bank account. And then how, you know, face how that all happened. And you say about, you know, being good with money, or that, you know, thinking that I had it together. I thought you had it together. I do remember mom and dad being like, with both of us, right? You know,
I know.
Did we like, not teach them better?
Really, truly fly the nest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. The door only swings one way. Oh no, come back in, right? But you know, so like I said, I went from somebody who tracked every dollar to somebody who didn't even want to look at things. I definitely didn't want to budget because that didn't, you know, pan out. But I just carried a lot of shame with that.
Ah, man, there's that word again, shame. Right, like it keeps coming up. What, yep. I mean, you kind of described what was going on for you, but can we go just a little deeper? Like, can you tell me a little bit more about, like, what did the shame look like for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, you can call it shame. I think there was a lot of embarrassment. There was disappointment. So, oh, here's my moment to be emotional, right? It is amazing that 20 some years can still affect you. But being completely transparent, it's been a lot of time. I don't like to talk about it, but being honest, I had to file for bankruptcy, and that hit me like a freight train. It was, yeah, not just financially, but it crushed me emotionally. I felt so small. I felt defeated. I never judged anybody who went through financial hardship, but you know, it's like divorce. It's like financial hardship, bankruptcy, whatever it may be. I guess I was judging myself ultimately. Mm-hmm. But looking back, it was also a turning point. You know, you come to a point, whether it's a line in the sand or whether you're like pulling yourself up from your bootstraps or it's a rock bottom. That's when I realized I had to stop hiding from the hard stuff and I had to show up for myself again. So again, it is not an overnight thing. It's not like one day it just changes, because it's not like I found a bucket of money to make everything all right. But slowly, quietly, you start facing the numbers. It wasn't an all-in epiphany, but I started tracking money again. I made a plan. I'm blessed. We're blessed with our parents. I mean, the support emotionally, of course, but you know, and I think one of the differences between us is that you'll keep things a little bit more on the down low. I'm like an open book.
I keep it under wraps. This is what's happening to me. I can't. And then I'm like, surprise.
Right. Exactly. So nobody knew about you. Mom and dad knew about me. They're like, she's digging herself a hole deeper and deeper and deeper, you know? But, and with that said, they did help me out financially, not just emotionally. And I know not everybody is blessed with that, but I am forever grateful for it. Not so much so that I didn't have to file the bankruptcy. I'm like, please. No. But, you know, ultimately it was on me. And it's like paying for your own school, right? It makes it more important or more impactful. And so ultimately, you know, I know that dad had always said about how important credit was. So I tried to maintain that, but that this was a rock bottom and I rebuilt my credit. And ironically, you can rebuild your credit faster by bankruptcy than you can by just bad credit, believe it or not. I'm not advising anything there, but it was exciting to see that credit score go up. You know, it's like you hit this rock bottom and it's so low. And then as that credit score increased, I mean, sad that I'm tied to that, but my confidence started to rebuild too. And this time it wasn't about having all the right answers. It was about being honest with myself, taking those small, consistent steps that we talk about, learning to trust myself again. And then, you know, I mean, it's just Dave Ramsey has a bankruptcy in his history, and that's what kind of formed him. And I'm not even starting to compare myself to him, but you know, I like to think that I'm helping people, right? And so jumping ahead in my story, that's a lot what led me to financial advising, because I know a lot of people deal with that stuff, and I didn't want anyone else to feel as alone or overwhelmed as I did in those moments. And you know, I hear so many people say, I'm not good with money, or I don't understand this stuff. And I don't want that. I want them to have a resource, you know, somebody to talk to that's been there. So now I get to help people find clarity and confidence in their own financial lives. And it's kind of like full circle healing.
Oh, it really is. And I thank you so much for sharing your story. And I know it, you know, there's a part of, and I don't know if it's shame. I mean, shame seems like a really heavy word sometimes, but there's things that we don't really want to publicize. And I just really appreciate you sharing that story, especially given that you're in the financial arena. However, I also think it's super important that you do, because, or that you just now shared some of that, is I think it makes you even more wise in understanding how the finances work, how like the emotional toll it can take. And I think that's an important distinction, is when you connect your story and your experiences to your expertise, because sometimes I think in the financial arena in particular, we're thinking it's just about the numbers. What does my bank account say? What do I have coming in per month? And it's just the numbers. And it's really not just the numbers. It's about the story behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and what I just really, really love about your journey is that you didn't let some of that emotional drag pull you down. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop you, right? Like you use that as momentum, as your fuel to move forward and beyond that story and build a new foundation. And now you help people do the same.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I think, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about it this morning. There's so much, like when you start to tell your story or I tell my story, or there was something on the radio that I was listening to and something that somebody survived. And there's just so much, and you can only sum it up. And obviously we went through it fairly quickly. So it seems like it just went boom, 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 but it didn't. And there's a lot of emotions in there. And I'd also like to point out though, that our stories are literally our versions, our realities, how we felt, how we progressed. And I mean, I don't think my ex wants me to interview him, but I mean, I, at this point, I mean, 20 years, well, I don't know how many years later, but you know, we're going on a lot of years here, right? 2000. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, they'd have their own stories and through their eyes, their experiences, their emotions. And I just think it's interesting to hear people's take on things, and everybody's life experience can help somebody, right? Yeah. So whether you're in the thick of a divorce or you're carrying the emotional and financial weight of a separation or divorce years later, just know that there's no perfect way to navigate it. There isn't one right way to do this, but there is a way forward, but you don't have to walk it alone.
Mm, so true, right? And I think, you know, and that's in our conversations, what we've been talking about is like these small steps, being very intentional. It's kind of what brought us together to have conversations like what we're having today is, it is forward movement isn't one big leap. It is the small intentional step. And when we said, maybe we should talk about this, maybe you should interview me, or, you know, we should do this podcast thing. We said, but we also just don't need to tell our story. I think what we really want to do is end every episode with an invitation to do something, right? Something that you can do today to reconnect with like your own agency so you can move forward, so you can begin again.
Yeah. And it's definitely not an overnight recovery. So, I mean, and even if we've talked about this, even if one person, if we're that accountability person or tool or whatever, you don't even have to tell anybody, but you know, sometimes when you put it out there, it helps you. So, yeah. Repairing your heart, your emotions, your financial, situation, all of that takes time and takes work. So what thoughts do you have on that, Jenna?
Okay, so I approach things not necessarily always from the financial side, because my bailiwick is like dealing with the emotions, right? Right.
Yeah.
So I would recommend write down three beliefs that you carry about yourself. That's where I would say I would start. Just write those down and then ask yourself, are these still true? Right? Or are they just old stories that are ready to be released? That's, I think, where I would start. If you want to take it a little further, because I always like to put in like a stretch challenge.
Extra homework.
because this is within the Compounding Change, you know, podcast,
right?
I think it'd be important to say that stretch challenge would be something financial. So I would say take one financial action, like big or small, that supports your independence, right? So that could look like sitting down and trying to make a fresh budget. Right. If that feels too hard, maybe it's checking what your credit score is. Or if that doesn't even feel like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to do that, why don't you reach out to a financial consultant and or advisor, right? call Shannon Davis.
Right.
And you know, schedule some time to talk through something so that the scary doesn't seem so scary and that you do find your support.
Yeah, definitely. And if you do something, share it. Tag us or use hashtag compounding change challenge. Your story might be the exact spark someone else needs.
Yeah. And speaking of sparks, I think next time we're going to dive into what it means to rebuild self-trust. Because like you said, we just started our story. We kind of did it in a really segmented, succinct sort of way. So let's dive in a little deeper into rebuilding self-trust, especially when there's been some sort of a major life change or heartbreak. Okay. And then again, it's not about like finding the one. So this isn't like, you know, a love, whatever.
Love Connection. Love. Remember watching that?
Oh my gosh, Love Connection from years ago, right? Right. This isn't going to be about finding the one, but I think, you know, what we had said would be really interesting to talk about is like, how do you connect with yourself? Like, how do you rebuild or connect with your voice, your values, your center?
Okay. Well, yeah. And let's be honest, learning to trust yourself again can often be the hardest part. But that's also where the real change starts. That's where you begin to rebuild. So you won't want to miss it. If this episode resonated with you, be sure to share it with someone who needs to hear it. And don't forget to subscribe, like, or follow so you don't miss what's coming next. We'll see you next time.
This has been the Compounding Change Podcast with Shannon Davis. If you are a firefighter or first responder, you know that change happens fast. Life changes, finance changes, compounding change. Shannon Davis is a certified retirement counselor who understands the needs of Ohio Association of Professional Firefighters members. Click on daviscompoundingchange.com to learn more. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Retirement Plan Advisors LLC, a federally registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research and Retirement Planning Advisors are not related to DavisCompoundingChange.com or this podcast. Please note that investment involves risk and no statements made in this recording are indicative of future performance. The Compounding Change Podcast is brought to you by Shannon Davis.